everybody to take their seats. It's 8:30 and we call our meeting to order. We have a few things to lead off the meeting with the oath of office for our new region. And we have some special recognition for an outgoing region this morning. So let me start with those. And Stephen, if you'll meet me up there, we'll do the oath of office. Assume everyone in the meeting knows Stephen Mayer, who's our new student regent. We have to have Stephen on board. Let me get the pen, please. Stephen, if you'll raise your right hand, do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue as a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state or out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offended? So help you God. Tradition established under Dr. Ransdell's presidency is that regents are given a pin, which we all wear proudly, and signifies that you are or have been the regent of this board. You were properly adorned. Thank you. Next order of business, Tamla, why don't you come on up? Someone wants to shed a tear, it's appropriate. Tamla Smith is ending her reign as staff regent, and Tamla, I think, has more degrees than anybody, maybe ever, who's been on the Board of Regents from Western Kentucky University. Pamela has been here during these last several years when a lot of changes have occurred and has been a stalwart in not only representing the staff, which you've done remarkably well. I know I've learned a lot from you, and I'm sure others would say the same. But I think the thing that we all appreciate so much is that Tamla has continued always to see the big picture and do what was best for the university. And that's not always easy to balance all those things out. So we will miss her greatly. She's been a tremendous asset to our board and to the university, and we have a small token of our appreciation for that. And so,
and can I say something?
You sure.
You know me, I'm not going to be quiet. I do want to say it's been a true honor and privilege to be on this board and to serve as a voice for the staff. Love the staff at WKU. When we held the elections recently, and someone asked, and I'm glad he asked that, staff are here in June, or, you know, why are y'all having elections in the summer? I'm like, we're here, and actually, if you think about it, staff are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So to be able to represent a group that truly is the backbone of this university is an honor and a privilege I will never forget. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to all of you. I look at this board and I'm just blown away with the caliber of the people who are on it. And the fact that you're here and you give so much time, and I see how much time you give to this, it's completely volunteer. You do it because you love WKU. And I just think y'all are amazing, and I thank you for allowing me to be able to serve with you and work with you, and we've had some good times.
We sure have. Could hear all of that, will soon become a part of our meeting via the video. So, hello, George. We'll next ask Regent Higdon to read our roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. Roll call, Chair Bale.
Present.
Regent Ernst.
Present.
Regent Higdon. Present. Regent Henson.
Present.
Regent Johnson.
Here.
Regent McKinney.
Here.
Regent Mayer.
Present.
Regent Nichols.
George? Can you hear us, George? Don't have the audio. We read your lips.
Regent Porter.
Present.
Regent Ridley.
Present.
Regent Smith.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have full attendance and definitely a quorum.
Thank you very much. The first item on the agenda is our Finance and Budget Committee that's been at work for some time. And Mr. Johnson,
thank you, Chair Bale. Well, this is the culmination of a lot of hard work that began some time ago. Concerted effort with the administration, talking to the budget council, talking to the university staff and faculty, and all the stakeholders involved. So this is one of the first steps we'll take as we go through a whole new system of budgeting for the university, not only this budget year, but for the years to come. In keeping with what I believe to be the proper procedure, all of you have received a copy of the budget and the explanation, so I will entertain a motion to approve the 2018-2019 budget.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Higdon. Do I have a second?
Second
by David. So I will turn it over to you, Ann, to make a presentation and open discussion on this subject.
I have a short presentation for you this morning. I'm not going to reiterate some of the major decision points that you weighed in on at your last meeting. I can tell you this was probably the longest budget of my life, but the outcome is positive, and I think you should be pleased with approving this budget. Okay. All right, Jeff. If anybody knows me, they know I'm tech challenged. Assistant Vice President Kim Reed to help me. So, all right, the budget, $388,419,000. It's actually a reduction of about 6%. Most of that reduction is due to budgeting less in carry forward funds. I'll cover that point in a little bit. The unrestricted budget, educational in general, is 78% of the budget at over $304 million. The auxiliary budget accounts for 6% of the budget at $23 million, and then restricted funds account for 16% at $60 million. Projected revenue by source. Remember, this is a fiscal plan. That says, what do we anticipate doing for the next 12 months? So we estimate our revenue and our expenses. The auxiliary enterprises, your first block of $23 million, includes the WKU store, Student Life Foundation reimbursement for housing, debt payment on Downing Student Union, and auxiliary revenue generated primarily to maintain Downing Student Union. The carry forward at $3.7 million is usually much larger. At this point, we're not budgeting carry forward for the divisions. The only carry forward we're budgeting is necessary to A, balance the budget, and B, two components of the current carry forward policy are that we allocate approximately $250,000 to IT for a capital project, and about $400,000, which is not much given the size of this infrastructure, to facilities management to make some improvements by the most likely by the end of the summer. So carry forward is usually in the 25 to 30 million range. This doesn't say that there won't be 25 million carry forward. We've chosen not to estimate it. We'll make decisions later. It means we do not have expenditure authority given by this board for any more than the 3.7 million. The majority of the carry forward, as you can imagine, falls in academic affairs. So if you had looked at the narrative of academic affairs, you would note a fairly significant drop, especially in operating. That's because we are not budgeting the one-time money. So we'll be back to you, what would that be, November, December meeting-ish, with more information as we see what the fall enrollment is, and we close out the fiscal year 18 and determine exactly what balances remain. Restricted funds. Grants and contracts are about $17 million, or 28% of the total. Student financial assistance, driven by Pell Grants, KEYS money, CAP grants. So the federal and state funding falls in restricted funds, 72% of the number, and $60 million, a very significant source for students to be able to attend WKU. Self-generated. I'll give you a few examples. One would be the endowment income that is earned in the WKU Foundation that's brought over and reimburses the university for professorships. The self-generated revenue includes parking permits, Center for Gifted Studies, study abroad deposits, and athletics. Those are the largest components in self-generated. The state appropriation we have talked about as we had wrapped up the General Assembly, the $74 million represents 19% of our total budget. Significant. When we make budget decisions, we normally are looking at state appropriation and tuition and fees, which is 70% of our budget. So we're highly dependent on tuition and fees, which accounts for about three-fourths of the total of those two. How do we spend our money, or how do we plan to spend our money? We are heavily personnel-driven. Personnel doesn't, they'd like to say it's salaries, but guess what? It's salary and benefits. We've had a lot of conversations about the growth in retirement obligation. Our health insurance is in there. Retirement alone has increased 44% in 10 years. So this, but we're budgeting almost $22 million just for this benefit alone. So 59% of our budget falls into personnel at $180 million. Some of the other slices of the pie are relatively small. $7.5 million for utilities. Capital outlay, which is significantly low, but that's what we can afford right now, allows for some repairs on facilities and equipment replacement at only $3 million. Operating expenses, in fact, are about 17% of the budget, and debt service at $14.7 million is approximately 5% of the amount we anticipate to spend next year. So how does the budget look by division? This division chart shows reorganizations, everything from international programs to enrollment management to information technology, all showing in their new homes effective July 1. Academic affairs, as you would anticipate, is approximately 50% of our unrestricted resources. If you follow down the lines past enrollment and student experience, there's a line, undistributed salary and benefits. This shows up in a category, a broad category called university-wide. We broke out university-wide because we knew you would see how large it had grown. This is where we are temporarily budgeting the salary pool, 4% salary pool, that will go in effect in June. This is also where we budget the undistributed fringe benefits, the retirement increase that we anticipate next year, the following year. And we place it in this. When you get the fiscal year 20 budget, those dollars will no longer show up in a significant pool centrally. They will be allocated across the university. Expenditure highlights. Faculty promotions and employee benefits, $6.3 million is the amount of money that we believe we have to budget for next year. $5 million is what we're setting aside for the 4% salary pool. Some small items that you can see in your executive summary of your budget show up in other operating, everything from licensure agreements to contractual obligations, but not a significant increase. Then institutional financial aid is projected to go up about a half a million. This totals about $12.5 million. As we discussed on our last meeting, we had to have a budget balancing strategy. We needed to have $27 million identified. What we did is went through an extensive process that reduced the division's budgets by $18.8 million, very specific reductions. We anticipate to capture $5.2 million in vacant positions by January in order to allow us to move forward with a fiscal 2020 budget. We will also need to replace about $3 million in one-time money that's necessary to balance our permanent expenses. This is all achievable when we bring you a budget for 2020. Capital budget. Can't say too much about the capital budget because the General Assembly did not approve any new projects for us, including the CPE request for a significant capital renewal pool that would have addressed the backlog of deferred maintenance. So what you see in the capital budget is authorization primarily to spend money if we in fact have it. It's a necessary process that the state approves all projects for over $1 million, and should we be able to identify funds, then we would proceed with some of these projects. You're familiar with the only state project we're wrapping up is the $8 million left on the science complex. The university funds includes approximately $38 million for the library commons. And then the private funding includes the renovation of the College Heights Foundation building and a potential project that may materialize for the clinical education complex. So our capital budget is $77 million. Looking forward. New budget model. This is our last budget that will be structured this way. We'll have numerous conversations before you have to approve the fiscal year 2020 budget to understand how the new model will work. We need to have the connection between the new strategic plan and the new budget model. Underway even now are extensive recruitment and retention initiatives that we believe will impact us in a very positive manner. And then on the downside, we still live with this dark cloud over us until we get resolution out of Frankfurt about the pension liability. But I believe what we're bringing to you today is a very positive budget that achieves financial stability, and we have initiatives underway that we should hopefully not have a winter or a spring quite like the one we just experienced, but was necessary in order to achieve that financial stability. May I answer any questions?
And I'll I've had a couple of people come to me beforehand, but I'm going to start with Freddie because he made the motion. So if you got questions or comments, or both.
Thank you,
Chair. We'll keep this open as long as you want.
So really a comment is as much as a question. I want to reiterate how pleased I think all of us are with this year's budget process. Pleased with meeting the challenges, collaboration that took place amongst administration, the board, staff, whatnot. Especially pleased that we were able to fulfill a challenge in meeting the staff and faculty raises. That is tremendous. And especially pleased that within all of this, we're still protecting our university, growing our university, and remaining a competitive institution among our sister institutions. So many compliments. So my question turned into a comment, but I think that addresses what I would call a remarkable process. So thank you, Ian, and your staff, and my fellow board members. Thank you for the collaboration and the business.
Thank you.
John, you asked me next.
Yes, I did. A couple of observations and then just a couple of comments. One observation is that we shouldn't pass by the tremendous amount of work that has gone in behind this pulling a rabbit out of a hat. We were surprised, unfortunately, by the state legislators not acting on many things that would advance education in this Commonwealth. One, of course, capital renewable projects, addressing the surprise and the pension fund issue. I don't see how anyone can budget a business and not know what's on the horizon or cannot plan. And now we have a mystery of whether we're going to be at a few million dollars in pension liabilities or several millions of dollars. And with that said, we all have a responsibility contacting our legislators and saying, you need to wrap this up. You need to get some solidity, some solid plans around this so that people like ourselves that are acting in a fiduciary role for this university, we can plan as well. So that is my challenge to all of us. Secondly, I'd like to put in context what this budget is. We're talking about, and these are, we use the word million as if it's just kind of an everyday topic, but that's a lot of effort to find $1 million, and we have cut $27 million plus out of our budget. But this is a $388 million decision that we are making. And to put this in context, our regional area, the county of Warren just passed their July the 1st budget, and it was in the Daily News. We talk all day on Free Press, and I certainly respect this newspaper a tremendous amount, and thank God that we've got the Free Press in our country. But the fiscal court just passed, and their budget is $43 million. Once again, $388, county of Warren, $43. The city of Glasgow, Kentucky, $21 million. Once again, $21 million, $388. And the city of Bowling Green, $125 million, WKU, $388 million. The largest of that group, of course, is the city of Bowling Green, which we are right in the middle of. So what I would say to all of us is let's remember that our fiduciary responsibilities are greater than our entire region. $388 million is probably one of the greatest economic engines in this area. And we should demand from our state, from our citizens, that we and other sister universities get the attention. Because what we do builds economic development, it builds great citizens, and it gives our country what we should be. So with that, I want to say thank everyone that has put an effort into this tremendous task. And I think everyone's done a good job, and I'm in favor of this budget.
Just to add one thing, the city of Lexington was $341 million.
Once again.
I'll give you some kind of idea, but I agree with that. Any other members of the committee want to make a comment on one or the other in the budget? Any other comments, questions? George?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just speak up just a little bit.
Okay. I appreciate having the opportunity to speak, and I'm sorry I'm not there. I'm in the great city of Cleveland, Ohio. I rarely do Bowling. But as a new region, I'd just like to make a few comments. One is, I, like everyone else, would like to come in the committee for the process. After hearing the stories about how this has been done in the past, the process we've gone through this year, I think it's been very transparent. In fact, we reached out, we wanted input, and everyone's had an opportunity to speak on it, and it's critical, so I commend the group for that. I appreciate the fact that we've actually had a debate, not just you get to say something and you go away, but we've actually had a good, robust debate about what is best for the university and how it's placed on the right financial footing. I commend our new president and the team that he has of all the work that they've done behind the scenes to make sure we have the things that we do. I would say that when we, and recently, I agree with everything you said about the power of the university and how we are the engine for this region. But I also have to acknowledge that probably all of us are not happy with what we do have. We feel good about where we are, given the challenges we face, but there's a lot of things we'd love to do different. And one thing that I want us to think about as we go forward, and it really does get down to what some may think is not even a rounding error, and that's really about the fees related to students. I know that was a sore spot for all of us in terms of our discussion. But as we look at this in totality and feel good about it, I also want us to continue to think going forward how we can do our best to limit the financial impact on our students as we go forward. Tuition is already challenging enough, but we want to make sure they're in a position to get quality education, be productive in our society, but also to limit as much as we can the actual liability and debt that they will take with them into their adult lives. So I want to thank the committee. I want to thank all the work that's gone into this. I feel good about it and fully support where we are, but I really do want us to keep in focus that this is really about the students. We're actually the support structure among operating staff of trying to create opportunity for people to continue to build this great region. So thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you, George. Bill Kim, anything to say? Klaus?
I support this budget and I feel really good that for a long time we finally had a significant raise board, which will include merit. That hasn't happened in over a decade. And that's a big benefit to faculty and staff. There are a couple of points I'm concerned about. One of them, George already mentioned, that's the fees. I ask Anne to give me a list of how much we are actually collecting in fees, and it's almost $18 million. So it's about close to 10% of the tuition fee of the 190-something million we collect in tuition fees. In that context, if we look at the tuition of the surrounding institutions, we used to be a really good bargain, and now we are just sort of competitive. And I think we have to be very careful what we ask students to pay going forward, because we are pricing people out of the market. My second point is, Anne mentioned the carry forward, which was essentially taken out of the budget. And the carry forward traditionally happens to be in academic affairs. And if you look at the details, you will see that in last year's budget there was $27 million, which now is zero. Okay, academic affairs has always relied on these funds to be there, and it will need funds for the upcoming year. So these the $3.5 million of AM has identified as carried forward, that will be insufficient. To just give you an example of how this comes into play is we are monitoring enrollment, and some departments have contingency plans that if capacity is needed in classes, they will hire one-time, one-year instructors. And this is an ongoing process. And so, even so, in the budget, it is zero. some of this money will already be committed. And I'm sure we will eventually get a list of what funds will be committed. But academic affairs cannot do without some money. And so that's $27 million, which is set to zero. That is not good.
I just wanted to make a comment. Awesome job with the formation of the budget in the times that we're currently facing. I think that it did a great job addressing many different groups on campus and making a lot of people happy. But ultimately, I'm put on this board to represent the students for the university, and I have had an overwhelming amount of students email me, personal message me on social media. A lot of people were concerned when this was posted out because the two big hits that students are taking, obviously, are the 4% tuition increase and the course fees from $100 to $150 per credit hour for the online courses. And that's just really concerning to me because a lot of people said, well, this is going to cause me, if paying all these online course fees and stuff like that, to leave Western, go to community college, finish up my gen eds, and then come back to Western and complete my degree because it's a lot cheaper to go to community college. And that's upsetting to know that we're losing students for a little bit of time. Instead of keeping them here for 4 years, they're going to be here for 2 years to complete their coursework and just transfer in for their community courses. And I think that continuing forward the next year, we really need to try to look into what we are charging students, as a lot of people have already stated, and work harder to not put the complete financial burden on the students' backs to carry up the budget, because it makes a strong statement, especially the fact that we are a student-centered university. And I just think that we should take that into consideration when voting for this budget.
President Booney, would you like to?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for the work of the staff that has been remarkable, not just on this budget, but during the course of the year. Affordability is always at the front of our minds when we assemble these budgets and think about the burden on students and families to pay for what is a remarkable experience. And looking at competitor institutions and our sister universities, sticker price is one thing, but we continue to focus on how do we generate discounts for the neediest of our students, attracting both talented students and students from other places, and also looking at our residence life and other student experiences and keeping the totality of the cost in comparison, certainly to other places in the state, affordable. I want to make that point. The other is that if you look at the complete number, the $27 million, it wouldn't have been possible to place the burden of that on the backs of students and their families. We have done about $5 million in asking them to share in the lift, and the rest we're doing through internal management. And so I appreciate the focus on tuition and student fees. I also wanted to thank the community that has stepped up and shared in the sacrifice to get us to a place where, going forward, we will have significant stability, opportunity to plan and be thoughtful about where our budget is headed, and to share responsibility across the enterprise. And when you think about the new budget model that will run parallel in the coming year and that will go live in the fall of 2020, the shift in budgeting does several things. The first of which is it incentivizes and rewards the performance that we want, which is recruiting and retaining students. So it focuses dollars on where we want to focus our time, effort, and energies. The other thing it does, it empowers and devolves to deans the ability to manage fiscally their enterprises. And that also encourages innovation. And so while it was a challenging year, I think what it sets us up for is something remarkable. And so with that, I thank all the staff and Regents for your participation, and I'm really pleased to, in month 12 with where we are.
Hearing no further comments or questions, then I will call for a vote on the pending motion. All in favor of the motion approving the 2018-2019 operating budget, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, like sign. Motion unanimously carries.
That's it. Well, thank you very much, Regent Johnson, and again, I express my gratitude, particularly to Gil for the tenacious work and effort he's put into this, along with the committee, and tough decisions. I would argue that Western Kentucky University still represents an excellent value, and I'm very pleased that we're able to reward our faculty and staff with this budget. Everything I read leads me to believe that bricks and mortar universities like ours will survive based on excellent faculty-student relationships, and I think that's where Western shines. As a graduate of a larger R1 university, I can honestly say I don't think I knew anyone that got the personal attention as students that the students at Western Kentucky University get. And I think that's a real difference maker. And while that's not something you can quantitate, I think the quality that brings is has great value. Next item concerns our nominating committee report. Regent Ridley is headed that up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The nominating committee, we made a decision to continue the process as we did last year. There were surveys requested of each individual regent on the board, sent out by our wonderful Julia McDonald, and it was confidential. It came back to me individually. I put the figures together of those that were interested. Personally, do not think it's right to ask someone to serve on a committee that they have no interest in, so therefore it gave us the opportunity to give to the new chair data that will be able to be used for appointments on the committees of our board. It was interesting that as the information came back, and we didn't have 100% response by our date, but we did have a very good response. But it was interesting that the confidence in this board was evident in the confidential responses that I received. I then, in turn, shared that with each member, Regent George Nichols, also Regent Hamlet Smith, Dr. Smith, and told them, I asked them for their opinion of how they felt about the existing board and the board going forward. We came up, quite frankly, with a unanimous decision that we think that by the responses that we received and our individual charges to bring to this body, a slate of officers, that the continuation of our chairman, Dr. Bale, our vice chairman, Regent Gil Johnson, and our secretary, Mr. Freddie Higdon, would be our recommendation unanimously for this board going forward to help Dr. Caboni and this university continue this good process of continuation of our momentum. And that's our recommendation. I don't know. Is that a vote?
Yes. We need
to. Yes.
You need to.
Make that as a motion. Yes. Thank you very much. I will make that as a motion.
I second.
Oh, is the committee chair, would I ask for a vote, or is it the chair? Oh, pardon me. All right. I'm learning only in 6 years. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion passes, Mr. Chairman. That is our slate of officers we recommend to the board.
Right. Any other items or business from your committee?
No.
Okay. Well, I personally appreciate the confidence that the nominating committee has made in all of us. And I think, in looking over the last year, it's been tumultuous, it's been challenging, it's been busy. Really busy, and we will soon gather to have a review of our president's first year so that we can give him feedback and he can provide us with more feedback. And these are important times in higher education. We all realize there's many inflection points ahead and a lot of gravity with all these decisions that boards like ours are having to make in these times. So I also want to remind people that Regent Henson has graciously agreed to chair a bylaws committee. We every couple of years review bylaws and go over that, and that will be ongoing here in the very near future. At our meeting last month, we talked about potentially having a gathering sometime in July also to review the strategic plan and the ramifications of it. And so really probably within the next few days, we'll be throwing some dates out that we may be able to gather. Friday, July 20th has been mentioned, and we'll try to poll people and see what we can pull together for that. President Caboni, did you have any other comments that you wanted to make today?
Just that I appreciate the culmination of the first year of my presidency. I'm thankful for the support and guidance of the board. First year sometimes is always the most difficult as you come to understand an institution. To do that along with some of the fiscal challenges we faced made for tremendous learning opportunities all across the board. And it's been enjoyable. It's been challenging. I'm pleased with where we've wound up. And I'm also pleased with the continuity that we'll have going into next year, particularly with the nominating committee's recommendation. Continuity, given the challenges we've had and the work that we've done, is important. And we'll just continue to put our shoulder into it and push the rock up the hill.
This last week or so has been a tough week for Western, and losing some very important individuals. Want to make mention of that. There are two funerals going on later today, one for our golf coach, tragically killed in a bicycle accident, and then the loss of one of our most revered professors, Mary Ellen Miller, who penned the inauguration poem and was thrilled to have the role of University Poet Laureate, and I'm glad she was able to enjoy that this last year. We also lost someone I didn't personally know, but who was a photographer and a very important community member. I think his name was Adam.
Paul Gray.
Paul Gray. So, want to make mention of that. We have on other business some dates for upcoming events. Our annual retreat will be August 2nd, followed by our third quarterly meeting on August 3rd, and then we will have our opening convocation August 24th. We look forward to that. That was a great beginning for President Obama a year ago, and then we swing into all sorts of fall activities. So hopefully as many of us as possible can attend as many of those things as possible. Does anyone else have anything they want to say?
Dr. Bain?
Yes, please.
I have a gift for you that I'd like you to open. It's a gift for the board.
Okay, I noticed this sitting there.
It's that cute wrapping paper.
It is. It's got a big red.
On sale by the ladies' golf team, just so you know. Okay. $10 a roll.
By the way, I opened Sports Illustrated magazine this past week and was surprised to see under their Apocalypse Now section they had Big Red, and there's a suit in Italy that the courts had ruled could go forward involving something in Italy that it used a likeness, and theory likeness of Big Red.
Chair Bale, thank you for the opportunity to address this pressing, important issue. Gabibbo continues to be a thorn in the university's side. We've been litigating and trying to get this back into court, and we're really pleased the Italian justice system, which does not move with great alacrity, has ruled that we can continue with our case, and so Big Red versus Gabibbo will continue in the Italian legal system. Maybe in 15 more years we'll have some other ruling. So,
wonderful. I subscribe to Sports Illustrated because I like to have something mindless to read when I'm trying to show sleep.
Does it work?
Red and white. Does it have Dr. Caboni's picture on it?
No.
I like Dr. Caboni, but all right, what do we have here? Oh, a timer.
Yes, sir. It's easy work, too. I can work it, because it's not technical.
In the absence of anything else, I a motion for adjournment. Motion by Regent Johnson.
Second.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Stand adjourned. Thank you.